Friends, we're excited to be here this morning. I'm happy to open God's Word with you. This morning, we are going to be in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 44. We won't get all the way to the end of the chapter this morning, but we will look at a few of Jesus' parables that really go together and teach what I hope is something that we should take to heart and take to mind. In my childhood, I can remember distinctly watching Indiana Jones with great anticipation and excitement. Does anybody else like Indiana Jones as much as I do? Old Harrison Ford with the cool leather jacket and the hat and the whip and the whole deal. Now, there was a couple of scenes that were pretty scary, even for my young self. We don't have to get into the details, but he's out there trying to find those lost treasures. And he's risking life and limb, jumping through hoops, swinging across dragon-infested waters. No dragons in Indiana Jones? Okay. Well, you get the idea. All kinds of crazy things that he had to do. You know, where he had to switch the idol for the sack of sand, you know, and then the big ball rolled on him, and he went through all of that struggle just to try to get it, just to try to achieve the treasure. This morning, we're going to talk about kingdom treasures. We've been speaking a lot about the kingdom of God, and we've been speaking a lot about it because Jesus spoke a lot about it. Jesus mentioned the kingdom over and over and over again. I remember all the way back to the beginning, his first sermon. I know that we've talked about this several times, but I don't want us to lose sight of that his first message was about the coming kingdom. That when Jesus came, the Jews were looking for a Messiah that was going to free them, that was going to establish this earthly kingdom where there was going to be no trouble and there was just going to be, you know, pumpkin pie at the end of every night and, just comfortable shoes to wear anytime you wanted to go or all these crazy things. It was just going to be a wonderful, wonderful place where dreams come true and they don't have to struggle and they don't have to hurt and they don't have to have pain. And Jesus came with that expectation as well because he's the one that set that plan into motion. Only it looked a little bit different than what we wanted it to, what the Jews were hoping it was going to look like. It looked a little bit different. It meant that he was going to take the form of a helpless child born into this world from a virgin mother. And to live in this life, a life of poverty, really, where he didn't necessarily know where his next meal was going to come from or if he was going to be sleeping underneath a roof one night to the next. And he was going to endure pain and suffering and shame on a cross so that he might die for us. And that he might be brought back to life and beat back death and achieve victory over those that the sin and the death of this world. And Jesus sets out telling people what this kingdom looks like because the Jews had been looking for one kingdom and a whole other kingdom showed up. A whole other place showed up. And so he starts speaking and teaching in these parables. Speaking and teaching in these parables so that folks could get a true measure of what it looks like, of who this Messiah is. And what really are they seeking? And so as we look at these next couple of parables, really three main parables that we'll look at, they're really short and really get straight to the point. But I want us, if we take nothing else away from what we're going to discuss this morning, I want us to learn this, that we should pursue the kingdom of heaven like we are chasing a great treasure, only to spend it on the ministry of the kingdom. We should pursue the kingdom of heaven like we are chasing a great treasure, only to spend it on the ministry of the kingdom. I know that may sound a little convoluted and mixed up because we're seeking this great treasure so that we can spend it and then we can get, then we can use it. But that's the purpose of the kingdom, calling us to work and to serve that kingdom. And I want us to look together at these three parables and then a summary statement at the end, how Jesus kind of wraps it all up. Starting in verse 44, hear what it says. Jesus is speaking. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. And when it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes." And he, Jesus, said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old." Jesus gives us three pictures of what it's like, the kingdom of heaven is like. Three different pictures. Two of them actually are kind of very similar, although they're maybe the other two different sides of the coin. And then a completely different picture. And then sums it up with one thing, a statement of what it looks like to be someone who's part of that kingdom. And so it's all about the kingdom. It's all about us being in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, right? That God has a plan to establish this kingdom. And in fact, through his son being the Messiah, wearing the crown, dying on the cross, raising from the grave, sitting at his right hand right now in the throne room of heaven, he is this ruler, this king of kings, this Lord of lords that has now established this kingdom. And it is now everywhere that you see, all around you. It's in you and I. As we come together and worship, it's in the church at large as we come to worship the King, worship the Lord of Lords. And then eventually it will come in a new heaven and a new earth, and a new throne will be established. It will be brought down and we will worship at his feet there in that final place. In that heaven come to earth, this new heaven, all of this will be seen, and we will enjoy the beauty and the majesty, the glory, the awesomeness of his forever kingdom. So the kingdom is here now as we're living and breathing and working and trying to influence others and show them the truth of salvation, the hope of forgiveness, the power of his blood. And then it's also for the future, for what's going to come and how it will be at the very end and what will happen after this life is over. And so it's all about the kingdom, everything that we see. Now, Jesus is explaining what the kingdom looks like, and he's speaking specifically to the disciples at this point. If you look back with me at verse 36 of chapter 13, you know, he had been teaching those parables to the large crowds, to those that are around. Remember, he even got into that boat at one point and was preaching from the water, right? But it says in verse 36 that he left the crowds and he went into the house and his disciples came near him. And as they came near him, they asked for the explanation of the parable of the weeds. And as they asked for the explanation of the parable of the weeds, they wanted to know what it was. And he started sharing that. And then he one-upped them and gave him this explanation of these other parables, the hidden treasure, the pearl, and the net. Now, as he's speaking to them, he's giving them this message. And it's not necessarily for the crowd, but for them to understand. And he shares what the kingdom looks like. And I think there's four things that we can find here about what the kingdom is and how it works and what it's all about. First, I want us to see that the kingdom comes suddenly. The kingdom comes suddenly. Notice that in the story of the hidden treasure, the man happens upon it in the field. He's not necessarily looking for it. He just stumbles upon it. He finds it. We don't know what the treasure is. Wouldn't you want to know what that treasure is? You know, what kind of thing was it? Was it rubies and diamonds? Was it, the grandma's recipe for the best cannoli? I don't know. It could have been any kind of thing, but it was something so beautiful, so wonderful, so filled with joy, so able to fill this man with joy that he went and sold everything that he had because he chanced upon it. He stumbled upon it suddenly. Now, notice it's the exact opposite of the merchant in the pearl story. In verse 45, it says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So it's the same response by the two men, but it's different circumstances that brought them to the finding of that great treasure. On one hand, someone who was just stumbled upon it, just happened to find it and saw that it was valuable and wanted to possess it. On the other hand, that's his job. He was meant to look for it. He had been searching and searching, trying to find as many fine pearls as he could, only to see that finally we get this great one, the one that is just, it's the best pearl. It's the biggest and the brightest and the most expensive. It's the most valuable. And he snaps that up as well. In both instances, it doesn't matter whether you're looking intently or if you just stumble upon it. Once you find it, it hits you, and it hits you hard, and you realize the truth of it, and you want nothing else but to possess it. You want nothing else but to control it. Notice it said in verse 44 that it's his joy, right? It's in his joy that he goes and sells all that he has so that he might be able to own it. He wants to know it. He wants to possess it. He wants to have it. They both, the man in the field and the merchant looking for the pearls, they want nothing more than to have it all. But they realize that though it came to them suddenly, they were both surprised by them finding it. You know, one maybe had a little bit of expectation that he would find something great, but didn't know he was going to find something as great as he did. Both were called to sacrifice. And that's the second thing that we want to see, that the kingdom calls for sacrifice. The kingdom calls for sacrifice. The man who stumbles upon it in the field has to give up everything. He sells everything that he owns so that he has enough money so that he can buy that field and possess it. It's the same thing with the merchant. That he sells all that he has so that he can own that pearl, that beautiful pearl that's so wonderful and beyond description. The response is the same. They have to sell everything, as much as they have. Jesus later is going to tell his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 that if anyone wants to come after him, that he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, that's what Jesus is asking for from us. He wants everything. He wants all of it. All of you, all of me, to be given for his work, for his service, and for his glory. It should be our joy, friends, to give that sacrifice over. That Jesus was sharing to that rich young man in Matthew chapter 19, about what it means to sell everything. He said, if you really want to get to heaven, if you really want to be my disciple, you have to sell all that you own and give it to the poor and serve and follow me, he says. And that rich young man says, you know what, that's too stiff of a price. And he walked away sad because he was unwilling to pay that ultimate price. Jesus calls us to sacrifice. The kingdom of God calls us to sacrifice. that we are meant to come upon this, and as we stumble upon the truth and the beauty and the glory of what the kingdom is, whether we were seeking for it all of our life or where we just happened to stumble across it, maybe you just wandered into a church building off the street one day because you had nothing better to do, or it was raining outside, and here you've been for the past 20, 30 years or whatnot it is, or whether you just purposely have been seeking all your life, it does not matter. At this point, once you hear the call, once you see the pearl or the treasure of great value, it requires everything. It requires you to take a decisive action, to actually get up and do something about it, to say that I am going to deny myself and give my whole life over to this. And notice what they do with it. They buy the field and he just owns it. The merchant purchases the pearl and he possesses it. It's mint. It's his. He scooped it up. I coach soccer, and I tell Parker's team they're playing goalie. I tell Emerson's team when they're playing goalie, you reach down when that ball comes as a goalie, you want to scoop it up and you grab it like it's your most favorite toy. It's like your favorite ice cream. Scoop it up and hold it and don't let anybody take it from you. Just don't let anybody get it away from you. And that's exactly what we need to do when we see the kingdom of God, to embrace it and to possess it so that we have it and that we know that we have given everything so that we might serve this kingdom. There is delight. There is joy that comes, we hear in verse 44, in giving everything that we have so that we might possess all of that. Though the kingdom comes suddenly to us, and we know that it calls us to sacrifice so that we might possess it, Jesus takes it another step and reminds them that the kingdom commands sharing. The kingdom commands sharing. Listen again to the parable of the net. He says in verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. And when it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into the containers and threw away the bad. The net that they're talking about in this passage is not like the little fishing net that we're used to where we catch it on the pole and we get that and scoop it up and, you know, we hold it up and say, yeah, we caught it. Typically, this net is a big, long net that in some cases could stretch out over 100 feet wide and as deep as they could go. Right? Oftentimes they were smaller, but it could get up that wide. And they would put it really between two boats. And two boats would just drag the ocean floor and collect everything that they could. Good fish, bad fish, eels, old tires. Well, they probably didn't have old tires in Jesus' day, but you get the picture. They just gathered it all up and they brought it onto the shore and drug it up there, and they started sorting through the fish that was good, that we could sell or that we could eat, that we could consume, or the ones that nobody wanted or that were deformed or bad or whatever it is. And they tossed those out to be thrown away, to be consumed in the fire. Friends, that's important for you and I to realize. And I think that Jesus puts it here at this point to remind us that we are seeking the kingdom, that we're searching for the kingdom, that we find the kingdom and we want to possess the kingdom. But once we possess it, we need to get into action and start showing it and sharing it to the world that's around us. Because that net is coming. One day that net is going to come across the history of this world and scoop up everything in its wake. And it says every kind of fish. Every kind of fish. It doesn't matter if you're black, you're white, you're rich, you're poor, you're from this country, you're from that country. All will be scooped up. And in that, the good will be separated from the bad. Not in that you did good on tests or that you never told lies or that you did all your chores or you never cracked your knuckles or whatever it is that you think good people do. But those that were righteous, those that were holy, those that served God, those that asked Jesus to forgive them, those that confessed him to be Lord and Savior, those are the ones that are counted as the good. And anyone else is counted as the bad. And in those days, it says in verse 49, so it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. And in that placing, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus gives the same explanation as he did just in the previous parable, the parable of the weeds, that there will be weeping, there will be gnashing of teeth, there will be real consequences for those who do not believe, those who do not follow Christ. The kingdom commands that we share. The net knows no bounds. It will scoop us all up. And that the ones that hear Jesus, the ones that know Jesus, the ones that follow him, they will be counted up as the good. The fiery furnace will end, is an ending place of destruction and pain and sorrow and weeping of gnashing of teeth. But until that final cast comes in, until that final net is drawn in, there's chance for you and for I, for our friends, for our neighbors, for our family members, for strangers on the street to change. And to follow Christ and to serve him and him alone. And while there's still time, while there's still breath in our lungs and still breath in their lungs, we should speak, we should teach, we should preach, we should share, we should give hope. We don't hold it in, but we give it out. And how do I know that? How do I know that we need to do that? Maybe Jesus is just telling us about how, like the good, how the, you know, the, these merchants and this man, he, you know, they earned their way into heaven because they sold everything and they went in. No, Jesus is not speaking that way. He's talking about the person that gives of themselves and sacrifices all. It's not that we're earning heaven. It's that we see the greatest treasure that we've ever seen in a whole entire life. It's so indescribable that he doesn't even use words. He just leaves it to the imagination of what it would look like and how big that pearl would be. Could you imagine what it looked like? I mean, I've seen some fancy pearls before and some have been small and some of them have been big. And I mean, but what is the one that is so great that somebody would give up everything to possess it? What treasure did that man stumble across in the field that caused him to want to see it, want to possess it, want to own it? You know, what was underneath that X marks the spot on that map, right? What was there hidden in that that made him enjoy, sell all that he had? And the point, I think, is found here in the following verses, verse 51. And I want us to see that we saw for sure that the kingdom, it came suddenly, it calls for sacrifice, it commands us to share. I want us to see at the very end that the kingdom commissions service. The kingdom commissions service. Jesus shares these stories, these parables, and then in verse 51, he says, "Have you understood all these things?" He's asking them. He's asking his disciples, his closest. And they said to him, yes. They answered into the affirmative. That's a simple statement, right? Hey, do you understand this? Well, yeah, sure we do. I think that we have to see here that Christ has been talking through these parables. And remember, he even explained that he speaks in parables so that those that have ears would hear and those who have eyes would see, right? He's validating that they would be like this. Do they possess ears that hears and eyes that see? Do you understand? Have you understood these things? Do you get how this is going to change your life drastically? That's what he's asking these disciples. Do you understand that your life will not be the same from these moments on? And that eventually it's going to end differently and it's going to get bad and it's going to get struggle and there's going to be trials and triumphs and good times and bad times and all of these things all for my glory because of my good. Do you understand that your life is going to be different? Yes, they said. And so he says to them, verse 52, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. Jesus here describes them as scribes, or encourages them to be scribes, if you will. And how is that possible? Because it seems like he always is fighting with the scribes and Pharisees. Later on in Matthew, he's going to give them woes. Woe to you, scribes. Woe to you, Pharisees. But here he wants his disciples to be like scribes. And what is a scribe? A scribe is one that copies the law diligently so that other people can read it, but then also, too, explains the law and gives commentary and teaches people. That oftentimes the scribes and even the Pharisees themselves, but the scribes especially, have memorized the law, memorized the Old Testament, so that people might come to them and say, hey, remember that time Isaiah said something, something, something? What did he really say? And then the scribe would say, well, this is what it says because he has it memorized. And he knows what it means and he's able to explain it. That's what Jesus is telling the disciples to be like. That you need to devote yourself as a scribe to the kingdom of heaven. And not only that, not only do you devote yourself to be trained for the kingdom of heaven, to do the work, that the service, the ministry that's happening in the kingdom of heaven, but also to bring out his treasure. Bring out his treasure. When it's this kind of bring out, this is not your Star Trek Next Generation collector set of the action figurines, right? Does anybody have those? No? Sorry. Maybe this is your baseball card collection that you keep all pristine and pull out and show. Maybe this is the quilts that you've made over the years that you hang over your walls and your doors and things like that so you can show and have pride in those kind of things. All things are good. All things are useful. No, this is not what he's saying, that we bring it out so other people can see it. This is a bringing out so that it might be thrown out, so that it might be given out, so that it might be used out. Flip back with me to chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus was talking about how the tree is going to be known by its fruit, right? The tree will be known as fruit. And if you are an evil tree, you're going to produce evil fruit. If you're a good tree, you'll produce good fruit. And this is what it says in verse 35. It says, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Again, how many here grow crops, grow fruit trees, grow vegetable gardens so that you can say, wow, those cucumbers look great. That plum tree, it's so beautiful. Look at all those ripe figs just sitting right there. Man, I'm so proud of those. No, what do you do with that? You go and you pluck those up and you make marmalades and you make spaghetti squash casserole and you do whatever. You use it and you put it into action. How many times have you gone and seen, you know, what you thought was going to be a ripe apple and you take a bite into that and there's worms in it or there's rot in it? Or you thought, I'm going to get this good corn, and you shuck off the husk, right? That's the word, husk. And there's little bugs crawling up around in it, right? Because it's evil, because something corrupted it. But those that were good, we put towards good use to do the work that it was intended for. And it says that the person brings it out to do this, right? This is the same kind of bringing out that Jesus is talking about back here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. That we're meant to bring it out and put it into action. You see, we're supposed to search for that kingdom of heaven like it's the greatest treasure we can ever imagine. But once we obtain it, once we hold it close to our hearts, once we live inside of it, we're supposed to put it into work and serve that kingdom and encourage other people to follow and encourage others to fall in step and possess it just as much. Friends, I want to encourage each and every one of us that we be like the scribe, dedicated to the training and the service of the kingdom, bringing out our treasure, what's new and what's old. Jesus here is reminding them that it's this new teaching, these new thoughts, but it's also the truth that I've been speaking ever since God said, let there be light. That it's all of it's meant for us to encourage us and to help us along the way, that we might love and we might serve and we might live out a life that honors Christ, that lives out a life that honors God. Friends, I want you to know that this life should be all about seeking and trying to possess and trying to hold close the kingdom of heaven. But once we have it and once we're living in it, we live it out and we serve and we give it out to those that need to hear it. We put the good things into the work that other people would know and that other people would come to faith, and that the kingdom would grow and the kingdom would be built on a sure foundation of our willingness to serve and and the faithfulness of our God to preserve us to the end. Friends, I want us to answer the question today: who are we following? What are we seeking after? Because you've just come across it. Suddenly, the truth of the kingdom has been laid out. You've seen it right here in the scripture, that the kingdom is meant for us, that we might respond to the gospel. And I don't know if you were looking for it intently all your life, or you just stumbled in out of bed this morning half asleep. It doesn't matter which way you came in, but you now have heard the truth. How will we respond? Are you going to seek after the kingdom, or are you going to seek after your own kingdom? I want to ask you, will you give him everything? Just like the merchant, just like the man who found the treasure, are you willing to give up everything you have so that you might own and possess the kingdom? Are you willing to sacrifice it all? And lastly, are you willing to be trained like a scribe to do the work of the ministry and share it and show it and give it to others that they might know the truth as well? That's my question for us this morning as we close. I'm going to invite Miss Karen to sing one last song for us this morning. And as she does, I'm going to be standing up front. If you'd like to, in response to this gospel that you've heard and the truth that the kingdom is there for you to possess, if you've not possessed it, if you've not ever followed Christ, then this is the morning to do it. And step out of that aisle and come speak with me. And we'll talk about these things, about what it means to serve him and give him everything. This morning, the altar will be open as well. If you want to come and pray and commit yourself to him, commit yourself to serving him fully, I'll be down here if you want to be received and speak that over. I'm encouraging each and every one of us to step out and trust that God is calling us and asking us to give everything, but also to serve with everything that we have. As you stand in this place, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would show us your truth. You would show us your grace. And I pray, Lord, that today would be the day that they've decided to follow you. They would step out of their comfort zone, step out of the aisle, step out of the life that they've been living, and follow you and you alone. I pray these things in your Son's most powerful name through the work of your Holy Spirit. Amen.